Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, and verses 4 and 5. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And our subject this evening is, how do we hear the word of God? Well, this parable, the parable of the sower, very well known to many of us. The parable essentially, as you will have deduced from my title, it is essentially to teach us how to hear the word of God, how to listen to the word of God when it is preached and when we are reading the word of God, how to listen to it and how to respond to the word of God. And this is in so many ways a very important subject. When I was studying for this message, I came across one preacher who remarked how there are so many books written on preaching and how to preach, but there are so few books, if any at all, on how to listen to preaching and how to respond to preaching. And generally speaking, we don't listen very well. Now, I'm not speaking generally about this congregation. You all listen very well, or at least seem to. But generally speaking, in our society nowadays, people don't listen well. They have very short attention spans. They're easily distracted. We allow our thoughts to wander onto other things. And well, this is a very sad thing and a very serious thing, very dishonoring to God. When we come, we gather in this church to hear the word of God. Well, we are gathering to hear God speak to us, to hear God speak to us, the God of all creation, the God of our salvation, who stretched forth the skies, laid the foundations of the earth, the God of whom we read of in the Old Testament, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham and Isaac and so forth, the God of Noah, the God who has shown forth mighty miracles, parting the Red Sea and so forth. This is the God who wants to speak to us, and yet we take it so lightly. I'm sure if we invited the Prime Minister or the President of the United States, well, perhaps not Trump, but maybe Obama or something, if we had invited him to come to this church, so many people would be willing to come. This church would be packed and they would listen so attentively to every word that he said. But when we come to hear the word of God, God who is the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, from everlasting to everlasting, sometimes we come and we're all too ready to switch off and to not listen to the things that are being said to us. And this is a very serious thing, and it's so dishonoring to God if we allow ourselves to do that. So listening is vital. And though there are not many books, that speak about how we ought to listen and to respond to the word of God, well, thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided this parable for us to teach us and to give us instruction on how we are to listen. Many of you, of course, will know this very well. He gives us four definitions or four types of hearers, and we will go through each one as briefly as possible, but we must examine ourselves in each category to see if we belong in any way in this category, and this will apply to believers and unbelievers alike. So these are very important and serious things that we will consider this evening. But, well, this parable also, before I go on, is made a lot easier, certainly for me, because we have the Lord's exposition of the parable from verses 11 to 14. And, of course, this is faultless, and we will consider his exposition in due time. But let's start just by looking at the parable in and of itself, which begins at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Well, it begins with a very simple illustration. A sower went out to sow his seed. Everybody can understand this. A picture of a farmer sowing seed with the aim of reaping a harvest. And well, automatically, just to stop at that point briefly, automatically we think of our own duties as Christians, as the Lord's people, to sow seed, to sow gospel seed, to spread the word of God. That is our great service, our great duty as Christian people. As soon as we are saved, we ought to have that desire and that hunger to sow the word of God. We are not called to keep the gospel to ourselves. That really is one of the great themes of this parable. If you just jump ahead to verse 16, right at the end of the passage that we shall look at, verse 16 in chapter 8, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. The Lord Jesus Christ is exhorting the disciples, and by extension his people, you have to make known this message. You have to sow this seed, just as this farmer is sowing seed to reap a harvest. We must do the same. We cannot hide the gospel. We cannot be selfish with it and keep it to ourselves. At every opportunity, we seek to make the Lord known. And that is a very important point to make right at the outset. So verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Well, the wayside was a hard path. It was not ploughed up. It was a path that people would walk on very hard, and the seed would not penetrate it. And so it was trodden down on this path, and the fowls of the air, the birds, would eventually come and take it up. And then verse 6, some seed fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. By a rock, well, a place where the earth is hard and rocky, the roots cannot sink down deep into the ground to receive the appropriate moisture. And so even though the plant appears, it's only for a little while because the roots are so shallow. And that is the second seed that is mentioned here. And verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Some fell in a part of the field where the thorns and the shrubs had not properly been cleared away. And so when the grain grows, the thorns and the shrubs grow with the grain, and they stunt the growth of the grain and choke it. And that, again, is the illustration, very simple for us in that verse. But then verse 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. This, of course, is the good ground, the fertile and rich soil, the crop that bears fruit, and plenteous fruit at that. And that is the point of verse 8. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, obviously, as I've mentioned, the lessons attached to this parable involve the hearing of the word, the hearing of the word. And by extension, this lesson is going to promote the primacy of preaching. Preaching primarily. This is how we reap fruit. The preaching of the word of God. This is how we are saved. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's through the hearing of the word of God that we are saved and that we grow. It's not he that has eyes to see, let him see. It's not what we see, miracles, wondrous signs. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to speak about that. Sadly, we see the great dependence or an over-reliance in the church nowadays on things that we see, things that people experience, the wondrous, the miracles. But the Lord's emphasis and focus, that which we hear, responses to that which we hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He never expounds on the things that we see, on how we are to respond to miracles, but the things that we hear. And that is a great principle that we ought to bring out of this parable. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so this is emphasizing the preaching of the word of God and the reading too. In verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Well, we touched on this right at the start of our series, so I won't go into it in great detail, but really the essence of it is, well, when people hear these parables, they're very simple. You can understand the illustration of the farmer sowing seed. It's not difficult to understand that, but the great, deeper spiritual understanding, that can only be shown to those who are spiritually discerning. That can only be understood by those who trust in God and who have faith, who are helped by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can understand the parable. People can see, but they don't see. And people can hear, but they don't understand. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ means. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, those whom God chooses to reveal it, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. This is a great principle when we come to understanding how the word of God works. These things are spiritually discerned. No matter how plain you make the teaching, no matter how plain you make the words of the Bible, people will see and yet not see. It's up to God to give the increase. And this is a tremendous principle, again, that we ought to grasp and understand. But let's look at this explanation of the parable given by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, is the gospel. In verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, the wayside, the hard path. And sadly, there are so many people, when they come to hear the word of God, they have hard hearts. Hard, impenetrable hearts. You think of the unbeliever, particularly, coming into a place such as this, and their hearts are hardened. We considered last Lord's Day, in our evangelistic service, we looked at Hebrews chapter 3, and we spoke about how hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we have to examine ourselves. Do we have hearts that are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin? Are you never moved by the gospel? Perhaps some of the youngsters here, they've heard the gospel so many times. Are you never moved by it? Your heart is so hard by sin. You want your own way so much. You love the world so much that your heart is hard. The gospel is preached, but it just bounces off your heart. You're not moved when you hear about Christ and how he, out of eternal love, everlasting love, came and died on a cross in eternal agony for worthless sinners such as we are. You hear these things, you're not moved at all. Has Satan got you so hard? That is a terrible thing. We must examine ourselves. Satan, of course, the devil, is mentioned in this verse. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Satan is very active in the preaching of the word of God. Yes, the word of God is preached, but you know, Satan is doing his work in and amongst the pews, saying to people, oh, don't listen to this preacher. Don't listen to the gospel. He only wants to take away your liberties. He only wants to take away all your fun. This is nonsense what he's saying. It's out of date. It's not relevant to you. So Satan comes and snatches the word away from us. He takes it and he leads us as far away from God as possible. He does not want you to be saved, lest they should believe and be saved. That is the great aim of Satan, not simply to tempt you into sin, but to prevent you from being saved and to lead you to everlasting destruction. Dear friends, particularly those who are young amongst us, you must prevent this state from coming to you. Being hardened in the word of God, this word of God, it's not boring, it's not trivial. This gospel is the most glorious thing that you could ever hear. It speaks about eternal life and a place in heaven. It speaks about the love of God, a God who wants to know you personally and who wants to save you personally. These things are not boring. You see, it's not the seed that is at fault. It's not the message that is at fault if you think these things are boring. It's your heart that is the issue. It's not the message. It's your heart that is at fault. It's so stony. It's so hard. And so, well, we have to think of these things and we have to pray against these things. But we can apply it to us all, believers too. We ought not to be hard. Allow the word of God to just bounce off us. This is why before we come to the preaching of the word of God, we pray before every meeting. May the word of God affect us. May we be given great understanding of the word of God. May it challenge us. May we allow it to enter into our hearts and shape us. You can pray sincerely, privately. Before you come to church, may this word move me. You know, this ought to be our great desire, that when we come into the house of God, we will emerge different. We will be different when we come out of the church to the way we entered into the church, because the word of God ought to change us and ought to challenge us and bless us. Some people listen so carelessly to the word of God. They come into this place again, perhaps just out of routine, and they listen so carelessly. You ask people just after the service, what was the preaching about? And they can't really tell you what it was about. They have great difficulty remembering what the preacher said. They've just let it bounce off them. It's as if the birds of the air have come and have taken it from them. We listen carelessly. We're not really listening at all. But again, we ought to allow the church to truly affect us and change us, emerge from a church in a different way to the way that we entered in. Apply it to ourselves. This is something I must mention. When we hear the word of God, we must never think that the word of God is just for somebody else. Oh, this teaching doesn't apply to me. Everything that you hear, apply it to yourself. How does this affect me? How does this speak to me personally? Always applying it personally. The Christian faith, after all, is a personal faith. Christ deals with us personally as individuals. So when we hear the word of God, we apply it personally. We think of our own situations in our lives. We think of the issues in our lives. How can I take the word of God, what this man is saying and what I see in the word of God, and how can I apply it practically to my life? Now, obviously, the preacher, that's his job, to apply it to others. But you must do it too. It was John Calvin, I think, who said that the hearer of the word of God should participate as actively in the sermon as the preacher himself. So don't just wait for the preacher to apply it. You think of these things, you apply it yourself. What does this say to me? How does this affect me? Perhaps you can apply it in a far better way than I ever could. So you apply it to yourself and you're open to these things. So this is the first example. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Yes, we apply it to unbelievers, but there's a principle there for even believers to learn. We don't let the word just bounce off our hard hearts and listen carelessly. And then verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Well, these are those who are shallow hearers. The roots are only very shallow. They cannot go deep enough to receive much moisture. These are shallow hearers of the word of God. Note that the Lord Jesus Christ says that these are ones who receive the word with joy. Receive the word with joy. Well, we all receive the word with joy in some sense. Sincere believers do that. But the joy that is meant here, well, it's a superficial joy. It's a shallow joy. It's like an impulsive joy. They hear about God's love and about his grace and about the cross at Calvary. And, well, it's unlike anything they've ever heard before. And they're taken almost with the novelty of it. This is nothing like I've heard in the world. This is wonderful. This is glorious. And they're impressed simply because it's new. And they rush to it and embrace it. You think about the altar call hearers. This is why we don't have an altar call in this church. Because they hear the message and they get carried away. Oh, it's so wonderful. Perhaps they get carried away with the preacher and the oratory and the dramatic music as people are being called down. And they have joy. Oh, yes, I must run down and embrace this gospel. But they haven't counted the cost. They haven't counted the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. They've blindly run into a profession of faith. They don't really know what it means to repent. They don't know what it means to have to depart from the sins that they so love, the things that they'll have to leave behind. They haven't thought about the persecution that they'll receive as a believer in Christ and the temptations that they'll have to resist. They haven't prepared themselves for these things, and really they're not willing to take on these things. So when these things come, the persecution and the temptations, they lose heart. They were only shallow believers. They think to themselves, what is this? This isn't what I signed up for. And they abandon the faith. I thought the Christian faith was only about joy and love and happiness. They receive it with joy. But they haven't counted the cost, the duty, the service, the battle that is mentioned in the Word of God. And this is shallow believers. But well, as believers, we can be shallow in other ways also. There are sincere believers who truly do trust in the Lord and are born again, but they're shallow. They never seem to want to learn more about the Word of God. They're happy with the gospel. They're happy with learning about God's love and about how He heals us and provides for us and helps us. And those are good things. But they never want to learn about the deeper things of God. Don't want to learn about the attributes of God, what God is like, and how we are to serve Him in a pleasing way, about the ways of God, how He deals with us. They never want to deepen. It's a sad thing that we have so few in our Bible study. I understand that many people have commitments, of course, but when we see so few in our Bible study and so many in our evangelistic service, well, it seems to communicate a message that people don't really want to deepen. Yes, they're happy with the gospel and they believe in it, but they don't want to deepen as believers. They're happy with their shallow level of faith. That, in a sense, is what it is communicating. And that is, again, a sad thing. So this can be applied in many different ways. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, when things get difficult, lo and behold, they fall away. This is the teaching of our Savior. And then verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Well, thorns, what can we say about this? Those who are taken up with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Unbelievers often say this to us when you come to them with the gospel. I'm too busy to think about spiritual things. I'm too busy to be religious. That's what the unbeliever so often says. Well, do we as believers adopt that attitude? Sometimes we do. I'm too busy to come to church twice on a Lord's Day. I'm way too busy to come midweek, even to one of the meetings. Way too busy. Too busy to study the word in depth. Too busy even for their own devotions personally every day. We can fall into that same trap. I know Brother Cooper, Chris Cooper, when he was here a couple of weeks ago, he taught along these lines. He spoke about those who start off in the faith so brightly, with such great energy and zeal, but then after a while, the things of this life, the cares of this life, work and family catch up with them, and it chokes their spiritual life. Well, of course, again, we know that there are commitments and hard commitments. The working life nowadays looks to drain every ounce of energy in us, and that's understandable. But sometimes we're not zealous enough. Notice how the Lord says cares and riches, yes, and pleasures of this life. Sometimes we're taken up with the pleasures of this life. Sometimes we're called away not simply by duty and work. Sometimes, sadly, it's the pleasures. Oh, there's something we want to watch on the TV. There's some place we have to go on holiday, and we'll do that instead of taking very seriously the Word of God. And these things, they choke our spiritual lives, choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's the sad thing about it. They bring no fruit. Perhaps people are involved in service, and perhaps people still do attend services on the Lord's Day, but there's no real fruit from their endeavors because they're not abiding in Christ truly. They're abiding in this world and paying only lip service, the least amount of time to Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Those who are in this category of hearers, choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, they're not abiding in Christ. Christ does not have the preeminence in their life, the priority in their life. He's something on the side, as it were. The riches and the pleasures of this life, that has taken the preeminence. And that is something we have to guard against, because it chokes us and makes us fruitless for the Lord. But, well, I will rush through these final verses where we only have one last class of hearer to consider. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground, very briefly, those who hear with an open and receptive heart, those who are teachable, those who hear the word of God and they're teachable. They hear it with patience. Somebody who hears the word of God with patience is a teachable person. One who hears the word of God and immediately gets offended, immediately thinks to themselves, oh, this is outrageous, and throws out the teaching of the word of God, that is not somebody who brings forth fruit with patience. We hear the word of God, we take it in, we pray about it, we meditate over it, even those things that are challenging. You know, it can take many, many years for a sincere believer, a born-again believer, to come to terms with a teaching in the word of God. They're sincere believers, but they struggle with something in the word of God, and it can take many years. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's the way the word of God works. A gracious hearer hears the word with patience. It can take many years for someone to understand a certain doctrine. It can take many years for us to be conformed to a doctrine. I remember hearing Dr. Masters preach very challenging things. I would hear it, but you know, it would take me months, years perhaps even, to actually live in the way that he taught. It would take me so long, because there is a work going on in the soul. We bring forth fruit with patience. You know, the word of God, it does yield results. Of course it does. But we're foolish to think it's instant results. It's not instant results. We don't treat the word with impatience. We treat the word with great patience. And this is how we approach the word of God and hear the word of God. So even if you hear challenging things in this place, or wherever you attend, you don't rush out and say, this is outrageous. You pray about these things. You receive the word with patience. And this is how fruit and understanding will come. But this is the teaching of the word of God. This is how the Lord would have us hear it and have us understand. So let's pray together for guidance. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy word. Lord, we know that it challenges us and it strikes even at the very heart of us, but may we receive it with teachable hearts. May we receive it with patience. May we go away and pray over it, O dear Lord. And Lord, forbid it, particularly amongst the youngsters, that the devil would come and take it away from them, that they may not believe and be saved. O Lord, sow that seed in their hearts, that it may grow and bring forth fruit, even an hundredfold. O Lord, bless and save, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name, and for his sake. Amen.